Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 350. Coming at you on a Bloom Board Tuesday, a nice looking Bloom Board that my co-host put together tonight. A little dollar values and whatnot, risers and fallers, should be a fun one on tap for us here. Talk some news and notes and much, much more. But before we get to that, you can follow me on Twitter at BDEntric, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ. Ryan Bloomfield, how we doing, my friend?
Oh, we're good. I was tired, and then you had a little pre-show Giants rant, which was pretty epic. Episode 350, which is 150 points higher than Will Brennan's current OPS.
Yes, though it's lower now because he just got out again. So it's like he's hitting below 100, below 100. Trash.
It was like this for a good last about 5 minutes pre-show, folks. It was good to see. I am well. We are on night 15 of what is it, Mr. Dad? Something whatever like that, it's called. Yeah. Dr. Mom, Mr. Dad. I don't know. Brain obviously can't work, so this will be an interesting show. But wife gets back from Iceland tomorrow, so I'm in the home stretch, crawling to the finish. Doing well though. Had t-ball practice tonight. Kids were amped up over that, but got them down, and it's showtime.
Beautiful, beautiful. Looking forward to a refreshed round of golf, Ryan Bloomfield, later this week. He'll be back in action. So
yeah, I gotta do that. I gotta get my hair cut. I shaved at least, but it's gotta get back to simple hygiene here shortly.
Oh,
man. Not gonna lie, the holiday extra day was.
Yes.
I called it the final boss in the Discord earlier this weekend, and yeah, survived that one. So
that's good. That's good. You took him out. You ran him around. You got the job done. Keep him out of the house as much as possible. I know that feeling, and I only have one to deal with. So, totally get where you're coming from on that one. But glad you made it. We're gonna pretend that everything's fine tomorrow, and you survived your mission, and now you can go to Vegas, you can go to Arizona, you can go on your football trips, and life is good again. So you put your time in, and now you get to live it up.
Built up my currency. I'm loaded now.
Yes, you are flush, very flush at the moment.
Flush and, with days.
You're ready to roll. So that is good. That is good. That's much better than some injuries we're going to talk about here shortly. As in the chat here, Bloom looks a bit haggard.
You would be correct.
Great.
I guess I won't say the name, but yeah, you would be correct.
I saw that one. Yeah, we're not going to say that one, but yep, you are correct, BC. You're on top of that one. But oh man, what's worse, Will Brennan hitting for the Giants or Law Dog with two outs in the ninth? I don't know. Pretty tough. Probably Will Brennan.
Will Brennan.
Definitely. Yeah, sadly enough, it's Will Brennan. But let's get into some news and notes across baseball over the last couple of days. Speaking of the Sacramento Athletics, Gage Jump was promoted to make his MLB debut on Tuesday evening as Aaron Civale went to the IL with shoulder tendonitis. Civale said he's been dealing with the tendonitis for most of the season, which is always a great feeling when you hear that. And he had like a low 3s ERA before last night's start, which is crazy to think about. That went up a little bit after the Mariners smacked him around the ballpark. But Gage Jump made his debut. He'll be in the rotation likely for a two-step next week. Gage Jump was throwing really well in AAA, especially over his last two starts, was looking like everything as advertised for the 23-year-old. Any thoughts on this move for the Sacramento Athletics?
No, didn't see the start. I was out during it, but I mean, just scouting the stat line, nice. I mean, he had 5 Ks, 1 walk. You always like to see that. Always like to look at the Ks and walks for a start. And the Mariners got on him early. I think 3 runs in the second inning of Gage Jump's debut, and righted the ship after that. I think gave up 1 run over 3 innings after that. So that's encouraging too. You mentioned two-step next week. It will be at Wrigley, and I don't know who they play after that, but they'll both be on the road. So Gage Jump, we'll talk a little bit more on the Fab show, but numbers look pretty good in AAA. 14% swing strike for Gage Jump in 38 innings. Decent prospect pedigree. This is his first time in the bigs, so Yeah, encouraging. Just, you know, have no idea how it's going to shake out. How bad is the Savali injury? Like how long do you think Gage jumps runway in the rotation?
They didn't see an actual timeline on Savali's right shoulder tendonitis or probably the imaging. I would imagine. I'd hope.
Probably not situation. A minimum.
Yeah, so he's going to be out for a few weeks. I would think. Not to mention Jacob Lopez has been really bad. ERA is almost at 6 right now. Yeah. Indicators aren't awesome. He's walking the farm at the moment with a high fly ball rate, which does not play in Sacramento. So, yeah, Jacob Lopez might need some time in AAA to get things right. If Gage Jump just pitches decent, he should stick around. I would be shocked because the other reason I feel that way is they moved Denzel Clark to the 60-day to put Gage Jump on the 40-man roster. He wasn't on the 40-man. So to make those kind of moves to put him on the 40-man at least makes me feel like they want to see a longer than a start or two out of the kid, unless he completely falls flat on his face, which he didn't on Tuesday night. You mentioned that slow start. That, to me, I like to call that the adrenaline boost for a debut. We see that a lot in first starts. I'm more curious how's the next start look for Gage? And that's when I'll really kind of get an idea on what's – let's just hope it's not 20 miles an hour winds out to left field in Wrigley. Yeah. Let's just shoot for that, okay?
So much will depend on the Wrigley winds. And unfortunately for us, for Fab that runs on Sundays, we won't get another look at Gage Jump. So we'll just have to go with what we have.
Exactly. Another prospect called up for the Chicago White Sox, Ryukyu Nishida, was called up from AAA. He's got a hit in both of his first starts, starting in right field both games for the White Sox. He has thrown out a runner at home plate in both games. One of them was an extra innings to keep the game tied on Tuesday evening. And if you search Twitter, he's an electric factory.
Legend.
An absolutely amazing specimen of a human being. For those that don't know his story, he was born in Japan. After he graduated high school in Japan, came to junior college on the West Coast, went to University of Oregon after that, got drafted by the White Sox, and here he is now joining the big club. And, he just personality alone, I hope the skills play out because he needs to stick around. So this kid's amazing.
Yeah, it's a cool story. It's an awesome seeming dude, like
where's the butt coming? I can hear it.
The locker room videos look awesome. There's a rogue handle of or bottle of Jack in that locker room video behind Ryukyu. I want to know who that is. Party with that guy. But yeah, here's the butt. 1,384 minor league plate appearances, Bubba. Two home runs.
Like, yeah, tell me how many steals he has though.
Whatever. Like I don't know. A lot. Sure. I love the dude. He's exciting. I'm not interested fantasy wise.
They DFA'd your boy Jared Kelenic for him.
How's he my boy, Kelenic? We all know what happens when I destroy any player.
Double dog season, on Wednesday coming up.
Exactly. Ryukyu's going to have as many home runs by the time this episode airs than he had in 1,300 minor league plate appearances. So just
going to be great.
That's what happens lately. But yeah, I'm not going to be that interested, honestly, in Nishida. But maybe I'm wrong. So much will depend how much he runs. Like, because the stolen base, that is a true skill, potentially elite skill if the White Sox let him run. Let's see if it happens. But you're not going to get any power at all.
No, I probably will not be interested in Nishida, but I'm hoping he sticks around just for the pure entertainment value because he's going to be a fun one.
Was the lock? Like, so he's like slammed two beers and just like.
He stone cold two beers in the locker.
Was that right? That was after he threw the runner out in his first game?
No, that was when he got promoted.
That was just promotion?
That was in the minors, dude. Or I don't even know what it was, but it was minor leagues. That was nothing to do with the White Sox. That was straight up.
Oh, I just assumed that was after his.
From what I'm aware of, again, I didn't do detective work on this, and I'm no Sherlock Holmes, but that was before he was even promoted to the big leagues.
Hey, so he's rising higher and higher in my.
That's what I'm saying. That's why the bottle of Jack's even better because it's probably like in a double A clubhouse.
Yeah, who's that guy?
It's probably clubby that sits there has to clean up the locker room after. It's just like, oh, these kids again, just taking nips off of it. Like, looks like Raj in the corner over there, just having. He's been there for decades. He's just living life.
Bottle's like three quarters tilted.
Yeah. As he slouched in his freaking folding chair, just waiting for these kids to leave. Yeah. It's probably what's going on there with whatever minor league team that was. But it's good stuff. Nishida's, it's a great story. And looking forward to more to come. Not so much this, though. Dylan Cease lands on the IL with a hamstring injury. They are saying it's a minor hamstring injury. The Jays are expecting Cease back after the minimum stint on the IL. Let's hope that's what it is, because originally I thought it was a cramp. But it is a grade one hamstring injury, which usually takes 2 to 4 weeks. They're saying it's on the lower end of the grade one. So knock on wood, we get to experience Cease back in our lineups pretty soon, because he, once again, has been a strikeout machine.
Yeah, been a strikeout machine. He's been awesome this year. It was a tough timing one, because we didn't really get the word until some of the teams were locked for the week. So I think you put out the everyone call on Discord to get him out of your lineups. Seems mild. I would hope it's minimum. Am I reading this correctly, that Austin Voth is filling in and pitching Friday for the Blue Jays? That is terrifying.
I have not seen anything official. Like, they're debating bullpen games. They, like, maybe that's what the, you know, RotoWire and the sites are saying.
FanGraphs has. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I have not seen Austin Voth's name mentioned anywhere. It could be. RotoWire has Voth down as well, but not in bold. So keep that in mind as you plan accordingly. But, yeah, could be him for now. We'll see.
If it is, do not go there. Trust me.
Yes. More news. Cole Reagans threw well in his rehab start over the weekend, said he felt great. On Monday, wasn't bouncing back the way they expected. They're going to shut Cole Reagans down for like 3 days before reevaluating, which is what they've done in the previous injury. Then he worked his way back and he was good. His injury is just weird because there's really no structural damage. It's like kind of a dead army situation. So they're trying to like play through it without like overextending him to hurt him. So like that's all you can do is kind of like, okay, he feels good. Let's kind of stretch him out farther and farther and then see how he does. And it did not work this time around. Hopefully we're only a few weeks away from seeing Cole Reagans again, but I don't know. I'm starting to get a little worried.
Starting to get worried. Nothing you can really do if you have Reagans. You're not dropping, doing anything like that because of this. So you just hope for the best. And it looks like we'll get a couple more. Steven Kolek starts, who threw a complete game shutout against my Mariners.
Down the Mariners. And then Noah Cameron followed that. Like, what a horrible series in Kansas City.
It was very depressing. It was very depressing. Kolek will go at Texas this Friday and then next week at Great American Small Park against Chris Paddock. Oh, God. Oh,
my God.
What a game.
I wish that was the 4th of July with the fireworks they're going to put on there.
Yeah, June 3rd for that one. So I don't know. Sure. Kolek's, I don't think Kolek's that great. I think he just ran pure against a struggling Mariners lineup. So I don't know. He's kind of a back end 15 team starter type.
Yeah, streaming. He's a streamable asset, but I would not want that Great American game to save for anyone's life.
Yeah.
Logan Henderson, this one dropped on Monday out of kind of nowhere, it felt like. Was dealing with a back injury and was placed on the IL with said back injury. And it's a little more serious than they're letting on because they said he's not going to be back till mid-June, which I guess is just barely past the 15 days if you actually kind of do the math on that one. But he's going to be out for, sounds like, 2 to 3 weeks. And hopefully everything bounces back properly. Your boy, you made a joke once, Ryan. You made a joke once in the preseason, and Coleman Crowe is about to make his third start of the season already. And he's pitched really well in the first two. He's gonna get the start on Friday for the Brewers, and I'm assuming stick around while Henderson's on the IL because Woodruff is still kind of not ready to come back yet. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, does it shock you that Coleman Crowe is now surging?
It's just you have a gift this year, man. Like, crazy. Like next time we're in Vegas, I want to sit down and go over like some over unders with you, and just let me know which ones you think have no chance, and I'm gonna put money on them.
Happy to oblige. Just feed me noons, and I'll do mostly whatever you ask me to do. Some
Topo Chicos.
Yeah, we'll lay off those ones. Yeah, this one sucks for Henderson because pitching well and like. I don't know. Who knows if it's all related, the back, the arm, but there were concerns about arm issues with Henderson and for him to be pitching well and then now have the back. That is tough. I don't know. You tell me on Coleman Crowe. I guess we'll get another look at Crow on Friday. Yes, he goes at Houston against Tang. Yep. So we'll get another look there. But
Crow Tang.
I will probably be eating Crow. I already am eating Crow for.
I would say he's already surpassed whatever we thought was going to take place on that one.
Crow or
Crow gets the Giant. Crow gets the Giants next week too in Milwaukee. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, no, that's streamable. Very much streamable. Yes. More so than Kolek.
Yeah, 100% more so than Kolek. No doubt about that. So that name, Coleman Crow, will be discussed on Thursday night's show. Just be prepared for that one.
Yeah.
Last bit of news here. Noah Schultz lands on the IL for the White Sox with a knee injury, apparently his third knee injury of his career, according to our buddy Martin Sokolsky. David Sandlin, another prospect that came over in the Boston Red Sox trade for Garrett Crochet, is getting called up, but he only goes a couple innings every start, so I'm not sure how that's going to work in the rotation.
Yeah, I'm looking at Sandlin's big-time strikeout numbers, but lots of walks and, yeah, super short stints, so I don't see Sandlin being stretched out this quickly, at least. So.
They have him scheduled to pitch Wednesday tomorrow against Minnesota. Really curious to see how many innings he gets out of that one, because he could two-step it next week.
But he's only thrown 16 innings all year. Unless
agree.
I mean, I don't know. We'll see.
I hope it's like an opener situation. Get Sandlin to pitch like the fourth and fifth at least, and that becomes interesting.
Hey, Willie Dong.
Yeah, he's been swinging it really well of late. I'm not too worried about Willie right now. So, talked about that with Ben for a while. I think it was Ben. I can't remember anymore when I vented about the Giants, but it's either their offense is playing actually really well, or their pitching sucks, or it's vice. They can't put it all together at once. It's really frustrating.
If only Will Brennan was on base to score on that one.
That would require his OPS to be 225 to do that. That did not happen. All right, that'll wrap up the news and notes for you this week. Let's get to the Bloom boards, Ryan. Let's talk Bloom boards, and it's an interesting one this week. So why don't you let the listeners know what we're looking at on the YouTube feed?
Yeah, kept this one pretty surfacey. And let me know what you guys think about that. Like I go back and forth between on these boards showing like, you know, skills, K rate, barrel rate, that kind of stuff. This one we're just looking at surface stats, and then you know me and you as we talk through some of these names. We will reference said skills. So if you guys have a preference how I order these in the future, present these, let me know. But what we're looking at is basically we are exactly 2 months into the season, Bubba. Opening day was March 26th, except for that horrid Netflix game that I hope to never think about again on Wednesday night. But basically now that we're two months into the season, I'm just comparing the first month versus the second month. Of 5x5 production. I use the Fangraphs auction calculator. The nice thing about Fangraphs is you can kind of do different time horizons, and that's what I did. I did last 30 days for the dollar values and just took the difference year to date versus the last 30 days and got our 15 top risers and our 15 fallers from the first month to the second month. And I'm only showing, just for simplicity, I'm only showing batting average, homers, and steals, but this also encompasses runs in RBI, right? It's your full 5x5 dollar value change. I don't know. We'll talk through a bunch of names. For me, it's the biggest thing is always like someone has a hot or cold first month of the season. That tends to stick in my mind a little bit longer than some of the folks who that we'll talk about. I'm like, oh, didn't know he's been that good or that bad lately. I think that's probably a common thing, right, where we perceive someone is doing very well or not based on how they are the first month of the season, and we can kind of lose track how they are the second month. So that's the general kind of purpose of these boards tonight. So, yeah, we've got the 15 risers in green, the 15 fallers in dollar value in red, minimum 50 plate appearances for each time horizon. I think that's it. I think I've gone on long enough at this point.
I think some of the big takeaways here, especially when we talk fallers, but like it still pertains to the risers, is everyone was freaking out so much to start the year over like a bad start.
Right.
And it's like when we look at the fallers, I bet you people don't realize how bad certain players have been.
Right.
And to the same point, like now we're all pumped up on these guys that are rising, even though like, though you not forget you guys complained about them for 3 weeks before this. So my point is the baseball season's long. I know it's cliche, but like this to me is a great exercise when for so many like episodes to start the year, like just be patient. Like it's coming. I mean, the whole joke, like if this happened in July, no one would care. Well, here's your example. to a T of what's taking place, and it's not even July. So just remember that the back of the baseball card is usually undefeated in these situations. All right, let's just kick it off here. We'll kind of go around the horn. We'll hit on most of these guys here, but Byron Buxton leads things off. Hit 229 with 5 home runs in the first 30 days of the season. And my oh my, even with an injury or two, you have a 306 average, 11 dongs, and 4 stolen bases. Dude's got 16 home runs already this season. Buxton, we wondered if it was a fluke a couple years ago, it felt like, if like this was the real deal, and he has been the real deal when he's on the field.
Yeah, and like you alluded to, doing this recent surge, well, I think it was a hip, I want to say. Yeah. Missed a couple games, so only 93 plate appearances over the last month compared to 115 first month for Buxton. Wasn't too concerned about Buxton. The only thing, like the first month of the season, I'd be like, is that 0 stolen bases? It's like if Byron Buxton isn't running, is there something going on there where they're trying to preserve that health? So for as much as the batting average and homers have been great for Buxton lately, you kind of know that's part of the package. I'm really interested in the 4 steals over the last month. Like that kind of shows that, again, even with a couple of missed games there, Byron Buxton feels good enough to be running. Twins feel confident enough in his health to let him run, and everything else is kind of regressing back to, you know, what a healthy Byron Buxton can do. So, yeah, he has been awesome. He's been the number one riser in terms of 5x5 dollar value of any hitter from month 2 to month 1.
Yes, indeed. This next one's very interesting to me because Bryson Stott, I do this every single season with Bryson Stott. I'm like, dude, I've just had enough. He's platooning. It's all this garbage. And in the first 30 days, he was platooning. And he hit 224, no homers, 5 steals. Over the last 30 days, averages 247, still not, you know, great, but not bad. But 5 homers and 5 steals. He has 5 homers and 10 steals on the year. More importantly, he's back to playing every single day. And that's the takeaway from me on this one. Yes, he's producing, which is what we want, but he's also playing, and that's what makes him much more palatable for fantasy, because he's a tough start when he's platooning. It's like, he's a better Luis Garcia Jr. He's pretty similar, actually, weirdly enough. And that makes it tough to start him. But a heck of the last 30 days to kind of get things back on track.
Yeah. And, I mean, this is what Bryson Stott does. Like, I mean, despite all the ebbs and flows, he's on track to basically steal high 20s, 30 bags, maybe hit you low teens homers. And, you know, batting average is a little bit lower than what we're used to with Bryson Stott, but he's always been someone I'm just like, even with, you know, even when he does platoon, whatever, the last 3 seasons, 2023 through 2025, this guy has been just at the end of the year, the numbers are there. And it just feels like 2026 is going to be the same way. It's just, there were a lot of, I do remember a lot of, do I drop Bryson Stott type questions after the first month of the season. And I mean, honestly, it wasn't like a super early draft pick. Like, that's a valid question, I guess, to ask. But he's been much better lately. I don't expect this version of Bryson Stott, the 5 homers and 5 steals in a month, every month. He's not that good either. But I think at the end of the year, you're going to get that typical low teens homers, upper 20 steals, decent batting average. And that's fine for where you drafted Bryson Stott.
Yep. Yeah, he's giving you much more than you expect. A good point. The 247 average, I kind of expect monthly from Bryson Stott, maybe even better than that.
Sure, but yeah.
The 5 homers, 5 steals, not so much. And especially when you look at a Phillies team that's really not been overwhelming outside of Kyle Schwarber this season. And I heard a stat while watching the Phillies Padres on Big Inning. They had the audio actually on tonight. And the Phillies and the Padres are like 2 of the lowest on-base teams, I think they said, in all of baseball, which really stood out to me. For their lack of production, surprised me, I guess, has not stood out to me, especially the Philly side of things. Bobby Witt Jr., I got nothing to mention here. If you ever panicked on Bobby Witt Jr., that's your own fault. It's the nicest way I can put it.
Agreed. And even Pete Alonso is next.
Not much to say on either one of them, to be totally honest.
Yeah. So Pete, I mean, just for the listeners here, Pete Alonso last month hitting 267 with 7 homers compared to a 204 batting average and 3 homers in the first month. Pete Alonso is going to be fine. Bobby Witt. I remember Bobby Witt. We did a homer to barrel episode on Bobby Witt. I think he had one homer in a bunch of barrels back when we did that after the first month of the season. And has become Bobby Witt again. So yeah,
and this just and water is wet, everybody.
Yep.
Rafael Devers, this one makes me happy because it's kind of like what we started with, the Willie Adames comment a second ago. Like, Adames is swinging it well. I've mentioned to you Eldridge. Devers is swinging it really well. like really, really well. And it's, I don't know if he's ever going to be healthy, because the way he runs, I can't see him ever being healthy. But he had 213 with two home runs in the first 30 days, and he looked lost, striking out a ton, swing and missing a ton. And the swing and miss and strikeouts are still not ideal. Not going to sugarcoat that whatsoever. But we're seeing Rafael Devers hitting 283 with five home runs over the last 30 days, and he's barreling up the baseball in a big, big way. So I have no more concerns at this point in time with Rafael Devers. I never had him in the offseason. I defended Rafael Devers as much as I could. So I think you're still on pace for – he's got seven jacks now. I think you're still getting close to 30 bombs by the end of the season. I think you're still more than fine with what Rafael Devers is up to.
I think so too. The only thing is, like, I was worried about the batting average entering the season. I still am. Like, I don't know if Rafi Devers hits above. He's at 246 right now, hit 252 last year. Like, I feel like that's where he's going to sit.
Yeah, that's fine.
And, you know, I mean, I'm not saying he's going to come out here and hit 210, 220, whatever. I just, you know, this is someone who traditionally has been 270s, kind of in the prime of Devers's career with Boston. I think that version of Devers has left the building. It's a almost 30% strikeout rate. So yeah, so I'm with you on the power. I would caution the batting average being much more than like 250 the rest of the way.
Yep, I will not disagree with that. Carson Benji is one of those that everyone wanted to drop, and he actually was dropped in a few leagues early in the year after he started out 164 average, two homers, six steals. Power and speed, not bad for the first 30 days in the big leagues, but the average was horrific. In the last 30 days, Benji, he's leading off for the Mets to top it off. 305 average, one homer, three steals. So the power is still in question, but he's putting that ball in play a ton. And, you know, the BABIP is helping, of course, but a nice month for the youngster.
And I think most importantly, leading off recently. Yep. Like some of that may be just pure desperation and no Francisco Lindor. Yeah, exactly. But you also like to see this with Carson Bench, someone going through this for the first time in the big leagues, right? Getting those adjustments from major league pitchers, like that can go one of two ways for a lot of these rookies. And oftentimes it goes the wrong way. So yes, a little bit BABIP baited with the batting average, but Carson Bench, very nice sign of confidence that the Mets are leading him off every day, and certainly more than holding his own in Queens. So, and I don't see any reason for that changing. I guess Lindor might be back sometime this month.
Slowly ramping up, yeah.
He would go back to being leadoff, I assume. So maybe Bench drops there, but it's nice that the Mets have shown that confidence in Bench, because maybe they don't have anyone else, but at least they picked him.
Yep, that is true. That is very true. Salvi, another guy that was on that home run to barrel board, that has been just fine. 186, four homers in the first 30 days. 245, five homers in the next 30 days. So the power is still there, and he's hitting 240. That's who Salvi is, in my opinion.
Yep, I was not worried. There were calls of Salvi being cooked, washed, whatever. Maybe someday he will be, but he's back on track.
Yes, back on track indeed. Spencer Steer is an interesting one because he was another name that people were debating. Should I drop Spencer Steer? Steer was hitting 226, four homers, one stolen base in the first 30 days of the year, up to 309 in the last 30 days with three home runs and two steals. So the power's always been there. Big batting average boost. I don't think that lingers all season.
The batting average?
Yes.
309?
Yeah. Yes.
You are probably right. However, I will note it's been a very nice, just kind of looking year to date, Spencer Steer. Big uptick in power. He's got 19 barrels already to just seven homers, and which is even more alarming with in Great American Small Park to have that much of a disparity between your barrels and your homers. And again, just as a reminder, typically your kind of league average ratio there is like 60-65%, so you'll have roughly take your barrels divided by two, add a few more, and that's a rough proxy for how many homers you might have depending how often you pull it, which park you're in, whatever. But it's a 13% barrel rate for Spencer Steer. Like he's hitting the cover off the ball right now, and doing so without giving up any contact. The K rate's at 20%. Like that looks really good just in terms of simple core skills of being able to make contact and hit the ball hard. It's been a nice overall season for Spencer Steer. Nice to see him pick that up off of a slow start.
As Kevin Hastings says real quick on Salvi, Salvi did this last season as well. Old dude takes a few weeks to get
warmed up,
mate. Totally understand, brother. Preaching to the choir. I got the seat warmers on every morning, like sometimes multiple times a day to keep the back warmed up. So totally get it.
Although until you go the way of Freddie Freeman, who I guess on kid number four now just says he's tired at night, and I think somewhat half-heartedly blaming his struggles on that. Though he hit well tonight, so good to see.
Who didn't? They scored 15 runs in six innings. They have a position player pitching in the ninth to save their bullpen. So yeah, not much going on there. All right, Schwarbaum's. I have nothing to bring up about Kyle Schwarber. He's just a monster. 21 home runs on the season.
Ditto. He's a beast.
But this one I like. Casey Schmidt. Casey at the bat.
It's your guy.
295 on the – both months he's hit 295, but three homers, one steal in the first 30 days. Eight home runs and two steals. Eight home runs, 11 jacks. He hit his 12th on Tuesday night to tie a career high, by the way. Casey Schmidt did. Just absolutely mashing baseballs with a 14.5% barrel rate, which is a career high by far. Is he overachieving? Yes, he definitely is. 21 barrels to his 12 home runs, which is actually not bad considering the dynamics we look at here. I think he's really good. Is he going to hit nine home runs? Like, he still has four more days this month or whatever. But I think he's pretty dang good.
And to the point, playing time wise, like, should be
every single day.
Not a concern. Yeah, agreed. Yep.
Hitting in the middle of the lineup. Like, this is the real deal Holyfield, I believe. So, giddy up. Kiber, like, this is just mate. Did you make this board for me? I'm just checking real quick.
I've been a bit hard on you lately, you know, kind of poking the bear during shows, before shows. I figured I'd throw you a bone and throw some Giants on here, throw some catchers. It's the least I can do, man.
I appreciate that. Kiber Ruiz hit 200 with one home run in the first 30 days. All just lost, dropped everywhere. People wanted to give up. Where's Henry Ford or Harry Ford or whatever the heck his name is? Who
Henry
cares?
Henry Ford is breaking
he made
news.
The Ford. Yeah,
he's long gone.
Ford. I know. Yeah, long gone. I know. It was a joke because who knows? He's in AAA. Kyber Ruiz hitting 302, three homers and a steal in the last 30 days. Now, 302 might be a bit high, but I want to remind people, we used to think Kyber Ruiz was a really good batting average asset at the catching position with a little bit of power. So, like, yeah, is he going to hit 302? Probably not. But, like, he used to be a 270, 280 guy. Like, this is a lot closer to the skill set of a Kyber Ruiz that we remembered a couple years ago before. You know, he had a bacterial infection that made him lose so much weight, and then a year of concussions. I think he's finally healthy and might be finding his swing.
Yeah, pretty much career derailed, or so we thought. I mean, certainly not out of the clear after one hot month, but definitely, like, I would, especially in two catcher league, even in two catcher leagues, dropping Kiber Ruiz made a ton of sense a month ago, just because it had not been looking good, not only this season for Ruiz, but really the last two seasons. Now we are starting to get more of that, like, he wasn't really ever like a 280 guy, but more 260 is something like that. With at least some power, and we're starting to see that for Kiber Ruiz. He's still only 27, Bubba. Feels like he's
a young buck.
He's seen some stuff.
Oh, he's been in the not good. Stranger Things. Yes, he's been there.
Is that some type of reference? I'm
the second I said that, I knew you hadn't seen that. God dang. Oh man. We're gonna stop doing beer bets pretty soon, or do you have to watch show bets?
Oh, that's skin in the game.
Yes,
because, like,
you know, if we win and we lose on beer bets, who cares?
Right. If you lose, you actually win a beer bet. But if you're gonna make me watch, what is Stranger Things? That's a Netflix sci-fi,
like five or six season series. Yes.
Yeah, that's a little bit more serious.
Game of Thrones, Star Wars. Like, I got a list of stuff for you. And then I have to learn how to code or something.
Yes, you need to do conditional V lookups, X lookups, get you some Python. You'd probably rather hang with the Python hunter with real pythons than yes. my Python.
Oh, man. Side note,
Miguel Rojas is getting destroyed.
They're going to have to bring in a reliever after all this is said and done just to get out of the ninth.
Wow.
Torched. All right. Back to the scheduled program at hand here. Your boy, Josh Naylor. People were kind of wondering, like, if last year was a fluke when he hit 208 in the first 30 days with three home runs and four steals. Four steals, still very good in the first 30 days. Second 30 days, bat has woke up. 293 average, two home runs, eight more steals. Dude's got 12 stolen bases, the five home runs. Like, goodness gracious, man.
That's, and I think we have the answer for, like, with the biggest question heading into the season for Josh Naylor is, right, stolen bases. 12 bags already. So, already, I mean, on pace to blow away last year's 30 stolen bases, which picked up the pace after his move to Seattle. So, like, Seattle is not slowing down with Josh Naylor. He didn't get any faster over the offseason, can confirm, but have to be highly encouraged by that. And again, even in the first month of the season, Josh Naylor hitting 208, like, yeah, that sucks. But the four steals in the first month of the season, I was like, yeah, that's a really good sign. I think the batting average is going to come. It always does with Josh Naylor, and it has. So very encouraging first 2 months of the season for me for Mr. Josh Naylor.
Yep, full agree on that one. That brings us to Jake McCarthy, who sneakily having a really nice year. I've been rostering him for a few weeks now in a couple of leagues. He only hit 240, no home runs, five steals to start the season. But last 30 days, McCarthy's hitting 288, two homers, four steals, giving him the nine stolen bases on the season, which is what you want to see. Power is never really his thing, but the average is back up. More importantly, he's not platooned right now with all the injuries. He's playing every day. Yeah. Leads off versus righties. Like, I think he needs to be rostered in most formats at this point in time.
I mean, yeah, given what McCarthy's doing right now, I mean, it has to be, but like this dude is just, he's so hard to pin. Like there's half season stretches where he's a season saver. And then there's half season stretches where he's not a major league player. It's just been a complete roller coaster for Jake McCarthy. Obviously, lately it's been the high part of that. But just be ready to cut bait if things go south again for Jake McCarthy. That's kind of all I'm saying, because he is known for some pretty brutal slumps. And you also never know when the Rockies are just going to be like, "Yeah, we don't want to play you every day anymore. We're going to try something else."
Yes, I am good at just pulling the ripcord, so I'm not too worried about that. And Dave Roberts is going to go pull the ripcord here in a minute, because this is entertaining at this point in time. Right.
They're only down nine.
Yeah, it's almost they're almost in a touchdown, folks. The Broncos are almost back. William Contreras, this is a thing of beauty from King William. Started out a little slow, 263, two homers, no steals. The people were starting to murmur, is William ever going to come back? What's going on here? Well, he's hit 344 over the last 30 days with two home runs and a steal. And Ryan, after tonight's 2-for-4 performance, he's now hitting 308 on the year with four homers and a steal. And people might point to his 339 BABIP, but I want to point to the fact that in his three great seasons between Atlanta and his first two in Milwaukee, his BABIP was 330 to 348. That's who he is. Yeah. And we're like, the way he's playing right now, this is what a healthy William Contreras looks like.
And it's not only that, it's getting the plate appearances. He's over 30 runs and RBI on the season. So like, yeah, you could point to the, you could say, sure, William Contreras only has what, four home runs on the season and one steal. Like, yeah, you'd like to see that tick up a little bit, but the other three categories right now are just freaking awesome. And I think the home runs are still going to, it's 12 barrels on four homers. Like that, the power is more or less in line with what it's been in the past. And so I think that'll come around. Grand slam?
No, warning track. I was like, oh, man, that would have been amazing. Yeah, 7.2% barrel rate on the year. Like, you'd like to see more, but that's up from last year's injury-riddled season. So, yeah, maybe that continues to tick up over the way it's been going over the last 30 days. If that continues on, we're back to a double-digit barrel guy, and next thing you know, he's at you close to 20 jacks. And like you mentioned, those runs and RBIs for a catcher, that's big. That's big boy stuff. So lots to like there. Last one on the list here, your boy, the real, the only J-Rod in all of baseball.
Thank you. Thank you.
250. Yeah, he's not Infant Rod. He is J-Rod. He hit 250 in the first 30 days, two homers and three steals. Hitting 270, seven jacks and two steals. Usually we have to wait for the second half of the season for the power to show up for J-Rod. It's here early, and that could lead to a monster season.
Could be. Could be. Yeah, we're usually June, July for J-Rod, but came in May this year. If you were concerned about J-Rod, which he wasn't even that bad the first month of the season, 250, yeah. Two homers, three steals. Like, that's actually, I mean, it's not great, but it's not that bad. So no reason to be concerned. J-Rod's going to J-Rod.
J-Rod is going to J-Rod. Now let's go to the Fallers side of things, where people are still sitting there going, these guys are carrying my fantasy team.
Right.
When the question is, are they? Sal Stewart, just in fuego the first 30 days. Seemed like he could do no wrong. Hit 303, 9 home runs, 7 steals. Like, nearly a double-double if you're a basketball fan in the first month of the season, which no one else in baseball did, folks. In the last 30 days, Sal Stewart's hitting 202 with 3 homers and 3 steals. I didn't even realize he was hitting that low. That
I did not either. Yeah.
Pretty crazy stuff.
Do you have a bunch of Sal Stewart? Some?
I have very little. One or two shares, I think. Yeah.
I've got him on my best team, 12-teamer. And this completely caught up to me too. Like, I mean, I'm actively like tracking who, you know, how these guys are doing. And Sal Stewart in a 12-teamer, right, over the last month, I just assumed he's still carrying my team. And he hasn't been terrible. I mean, 3 homers, 3 steals is fine, hitting 202 over the last month. I think had a semi-decent night tonight, so
changing 2 for 5. Sorry,
change a little bit more there too. But I don't know. I don't think I'm super concerned to the point I made about Carson Benj earlier. I guess I can't make that point and not make it with Sal Stewart. It's just, you know, our pitchers adjusting to what we're seeing from Sal Stewart. I guess this isn't technically his first season in the majors, but that kind of enters your thoughts. So. I don't know. I think actually, if you're to take anything actionable from this, it's just continue to monitor. As they say, I'm still starting Sal Stewart everywhere and just assuming this is a couple week blip. And again, hit well tonight. So, but just keep an eye on if it continues to struggle. Now you know that Sal Stewart hasn't been, you know, this game changing player over the last month. In fact, he hasn't really done much.
Yep. Yordan Alvarez is next on the list. He had a 353 average, 11 yeah. homers in the first 30 days. Not too worried about his 242 5 because he double donged on Tuesday evening. One of them was just an absolute monster shot to right center field. I think it was first at bat. Like, he just absolutely just teed off on a ball. More importantly, because we're not worried about Yordan Alvarez here, quick update on plate appearances versus Chase DeLauder.
Let's do it.
Yordan Alvarez has 239 plate appearances. DeLauder is catching up at 215. Just takes one more IL stint and we're back, baby. So,
and that is a beer bet, folks. Our plate appearances between DeLauder and Yordan. I got a little nervous because Yordan left the game right with a knee or back or something
over the weekend. Yeah,
yeah. So to see the double dong tonight, that is obviously a good sign. So, yeah, we'll continue to monitor that one. Maybe I'll have to watch Galdorf or something if I lose that one.
Don't be rude. Don't be mean.
Isn't that one of the guys?
No. The opener is Hodor. The carrier is Bran. We got to get this figured out here. All right. The next one, this I know snuck up to some people in the Discord. I actually had Nico Hoerner benched to start the week. And I don't know if everybody was on board with that, but this might help you. Nico Hoerner was awesome the first 30 days. 309 average, 4 homers, 7 steals. Couldn't be stopped. It felt like. In this last 30 days, 192 without a home run, 3 steals. It's been a rough, putting it nicely, go for Nico Hoerner, who's still hitting 252 on the year, but not what you want to see from your leadoff hitter.
No, not at all. And this is a really bad, like this is vintage Gene Segura territory where Nico Hoerner is like literally doing nothing for your team. He's playing every day and worse off. Like, you think he's good because he was good for the first month of the season. And Nico Hoerner still might be totally fine. Again,
yes.
Half the purpose of this exercise is just to kind of alert you to players who have not been so hot over the last month and just determine if you need to keep them in your lineup every day and assume that they are good. Nico Hoerner has not been. Interestingly enough, and this is an exercise you can do. I have not done this for every player on the show tonight, but I've been a little busy lately. But I always like to go through the RotoWire news blurbs, and they've got a real nice, you click on the player, go through their news. If there's any kind of injury, they've got a little red indicator there next to the blurb. And interestingly enough, Nico Hoerner had a neck injury on May 1st. Yep. Missed a couple games on May 1st. So you just always wonder if there's some type of hidden injury, something you might want to look into as well for someone who has been so hot to start the season and then not lately. You know, who knows if that's actually doing it? Could be a coincidence. Who knows if it is a hidden injury? When does that go away? Does it go away type deal? So just throwing that out there that Nico dealt with a neck issue in early May, right around the time where we're looking at these splits.
Yeah, and if you don't need a quick lookup, if you join the Patreon, you can get updated news each and every day, or at least 5 days a week. And you would also know that Nico Hoerner was dealing with a neck injury.
There you go.
Ben Rice, I'm not worried about this. It's just kind of, here it is. 337, 9 homers, 1 steal in the first 30 days, hitting 220, but still the 7 home runs and 1 steal. Like, as long as the power's there, I'm fine with Ben Rice, especially because most people are probably playing him at catcher. Would I like him to hit higher than 220? Of course. But you give me 7 home runs, I'm just fine.
Yep. Another one, and Michael C. brought this up in the Discord with potential maybe lingering injury type deal, again, before today's game. But Rice had that thumb issue, I think, sometime early May, again, roughly around when we're doing these splits. So you just wonder there. But Ben Rice looked a lot better tonight. That doesn't mean he's in the clear or whatever. But for someone who was like the best hitter in baseball, pretty much, the first month of the season, still hit you 7 bombs over the last month. Like, you're still fine. And as a catcher, you're still rolling with that, but he's going to be just fine.
Speaking of a problem, Moises Ballesteros, 397, 4 homers, no steals in the first 30 days. Not to mention he's platooning every game. And now he's sitting because the last 30 days he's hitting 102 with 2 homers and a stolen base. I dropped him in my 12 team leagues. If anybody's curious, between the platoon and the lack of production, I have moved on from Moises Ballesteros.
And typically, once the playing time starts to go, I mean, that's when the team has made the decision for you, and you got to drop. The tougher drops is like, is he still playing every day and not doing anything? But yeah, this was one where I remember being upset that I fell short in Fab for Moises Ballesteros 3-4 weeks ago in Fab, and that turned out to be a lucky miss because it has been terrible for him. To the point where probably a decent chance he goes back to the minors at some point.
I think that's coming soon when they call up, you know, Pedro Ramirez, they call up Alcantara, they're calling up younger players. Like, it's eventually there's going to be no room at the end when certain players come off the IL. And Ballesteros, if he's not producing, likely the odd man out at this point in time. You could tell the Cubs are on a losing streak, folks, because we have another one to mention here, Dansby Swanson. This one's weird, though. 200 average, 6 homers, 1 steal. Like, the average is much lower than I thought even the first 30 days. .171, 1 homer and 2 steals the last 30 days. That is a horrific first 2 months of the season for Dansby Swanson. And he's a guy that I guarantee you people are not aware have been playing this bad because he is locked and loaded in a lot of lineups. So, again, like, you're not dropping Hoerner, Nico Hoerner. Really tough to drop Dansby Swanson. But Dansby's getting close to a drop, I'll be totally honest.
Really? Okay. I was just going to say, like, so yeah, Dansby is 100% started in NFBC 12 teamers, 100% owned, 82% started in NFBC 12 teamers. I always just take the thing that just is kind of like what I was saying with Bryson Stott. You keep Swanson in there at the end of the year. You're going to get those numbers that he's done the last, whatever, 5 years. That could be the wrong approach, you're saying.
It just feels like he's much more lost at the plate right now. I could be totally wrong. Like, strikeout rate's lower than it's ever. He's more patient, if anything, which is I hate kind of seeing that these days with this era of baseball. Still got 8% barrel, 44% hard hit. Like, it's good, but X stats don't say he's that great. Like, he should be better, but he shouldn't be a whole lot better, I guess, is where I'm going with this. Still a 44% ground ball rate. That's going to deter things. It's only 2 months. He could change things, but it has been a rough 2 months. And he's 32 years old. Like, maybe things are slowly catching up with him.
I'm not too worried. It's a 202 BABIP, man.
I guess for me, like the teams the teams I have Dansby on, I also have like Brian Rocchio and like other shortstop options. So Dansby's just really in the way at this point in time.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get that. I get that. And especially, and again, this is more my 15 team brain speaking. And at 12, you got to just roll with who's producing right now. And I know I need to change that line of thinking for me with the 12 teamers, but I don't know. The K rate's as good as it's ever been for Dansby. The hard contacts there, it's just literally a 202. Like that is horrible. It's going to turn around for Dansby. And once he starts getting on base more, like the stolen bases, yeah, he's only got three this season. He's a perfect 3-for-3, but just hasn't been able to get on base. I think once that comes around too, the bags will be mid-teen, something like that. I don't know. I'm not that worried.
That getting on base is a big part of this situation.
It is. It is a prerequisite to stealing a base.
I love how Drake Baldwin goes from 302, 7 homers, 1 steal to 306, 6 homers, no steals, and he's one of the bigger fallers.
Yeah, I don't know how that's actually possible. That could be a flaw in the in the player rater calculation. Especially with catchers, who knows? We can skip Drake Baldwin.
We'll skip him. Like LA De La Cruz falls because he had 9 homers and 6 steals, and then a 3 homers and 3 steals. So it's just a factor of the big numbers. He's at 288. Like you're fine with Ellie. O'Neill Cruz, he's another guy. The power and speed. He's had such a monster first month, but he's still fine. Jeremiah Jackson, I think, should be dropped everywhere if he's not by now. I hope we did. We've preached that on the last few shows. I don't even need to read off what he did, unless you have something to add there.
No, Jeremiah Jackson's the perfect one. We're like, yeah, both the Cruises, Ellie and O'Neill, like they've actually been fine the last month. It's just the first month was just like so good. And you know, we didn't think O'Neill Cruz was 8 homers and 10 steals per month good. So that's that one. Jeremiah Jackson, yeah, agreed. I mean, we said a couple weeks ago it's time to move on from Jeremiah. Thank you for your service. It so much depends when you decide to actually make that move. Yeah, how many weeks did you hold on to bad Jeremiah Jackson?
Especially with Jackson Holiday back taking playing time. Just gotta really get ready for that one. Ramon Laureano hit 255, 4 homers, 3 steals in the first 30 days. 149, 2 homers, 2 steals. Did go deep on Tuesday night while we were chatting before the show. But it's brutal. At the same time, they're playing him every day still.
Yes. Homer today, though, I don't know. I'm not overreacting to Ramon Laureano's last month, to be honest.
The biggest thing I'd say is you don't have to start him every week, though. Like, don't just lock him into your life.
True.
If you don't want to drop him, fine. If you don't want to drop him, fine. But every week we talk about outfielders you can pick up. Like, you could pick up another outfielder and start them over Laureano right now. And that probably wouldn't be the worst thing you could do.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Jose Caballero, 280 with 3 homers and 10 steals in the first 30 days. 226, 1 homer and 3 steals, which to me feels more like the Jose Caballero we've grown to know and love. Maybe a few more steals would be in play there, but that's kind of the dude. And now Volpe's back, and Volpe's actually playing well so far.
I know.
Which is wild. Congratulations, Ben Ted. Get that jersey, buddy.
Yeah. Real quick, back on the Drake Baldwin thing, couple comments in the chat. Kevin Hastings, plate appearance drop. That's a good point for Drake Baldwin. 130 plate appearances in the first month, only 86. So, like, the power of that. Yeah, because he's currently, yeah. So the power of that 300 batting average isn't as much. And Paul Sporer also mentions potentially runs in RBI for Drake. But again, we're not showing that on the Bloom board, but certainly that. I mean, that's 2/5 of the category, and for Baldwin, it's 2/4 because he doesn't run. So I just want to close that loop there. We were on Caballero. I got nothing. Yes. On Caballero.
Yeah, it's just Anthony Volpe's back, baby, and he's playing well. True. Carter Jensen.
Here we go. This one's interesting. Yeah.
No, this one is interesting. 282, 6 homers, no steals in the first 30 days. Looked like the real deal. Holyfield, .169, no homers, no steals over the last 30 days. And people are not happy with Carter Jensen around fantasy baseball land. To be fair, most of the Royals aren't playing that great besides Salvi and Bobby Witt right now. But it's been a rough 30 days. I'm not going to knock that. And the strikeout rate is up to 30% basically right now, which is not what you want to see either.
That is not what you want to see. I mean, you don't want to see this from a 22-year-old. Again, I'm somewhat of a broken record here, but I do like to look at these kind of mini splits for these young guys just to see how that adjustment process, the adjustments to the adjustments, are going. And yeah, a 30% K rate, a lot of whiffs for Carter Jensen. Power's just been league average. I don't know. I'm worried. I mean, he's done nothing. He's done nothing for a month for you.
It's weird. I'm looking at like his month splits though. He struck out 29% in the first month and walked 11%. So that didn't change. Babbitt's dropped tremendously. In this.
So like 282 in the first month is very fluky then. It's kind
yeah,
of
he had, well, he had a 309 Babbitt in the first month, a 273 Babbitt in the second month. Huh. So he might just be unlucky. With that, like, that's just a massive gap in the two, or is very lucky in the first 30 days. Depends on how you want to analyze that. And his ground ball rate was 38% in the first month, down to 27. His fly ball rate jumped almost 10%. So he's flying out a lot, which is why the BABIP's a lot different. Interesting. Yeah.
It's,
and he's not pulling the ball that much. He pulled the ball almost 48% of the time in the first month. That's only 34% in the second month.
The unfortunate thing is you can't really, what can you do about it? Especially in a nothing. Two, I mean, in a single catcher league, right? You've got alternatives, but in a two catcher league, I mean, we talked about the weak stream waterfall for catchers on our Fab show last week. Like, you're not dropping Carter Jensen.
He is definitely not droppable. Thanks to the 3 AM tinkle. That is for sure. So we got that going. As Spore mentioned, Carter is sleepwalking. That's a good one. That's good. A very good one.
Right. Curse of the alarm clock. Yeah, I gotta get though. He did so. That was very early in the season, right?
Yeah, he played pretty well after that for a bit.
Yeah.
A couple more here. Mike Trout, 234, 8 homers, 4 steals. He's 245, 5 homers, 1 steal. Not worried about Trout. You and I talked about him off air for a couple of our HQ columns and. Quite impressed with what Michael Trout is doing while healthy right now.
Quite impressed and running, right? I mean, the 4 steals the first month for Trout, to me, was super impressive. Even picked up a bag this last month. So feeling good, feeling healthy, looking great. The batting average, I think we know at this point in Trout's career, the batting average isn't going to be what it was, but the powers, I mean, yeah, 13 homers, 5 steals from where you drafted Mike Trout. That is a windfall for you.
And then the Dominator, 349.
I don't know why I put this dude on.
This one is, I think, a combination of playing time, like just to a T, because he wasn't getting the starts when Sean Murphy came back. Now Sean Murphy's gone, and the Dominator is going to start dominating it again. And we could do this again in 30 days. We could talk about how much of a riser he is, if you'd like.
I'd rather not talk about the Dominator, Dom Smith. Yeah, he barely, like I said, I did a minimum of 50 plate appearances in each of these time horizons, and Dom Smith is there. That does underscore the issue with Smith is it is a pure platoon, but no, I'm not going to.
We're aware of that, though.
I'm not going to.
That's like not a surprise to anybody.
Yeah, I'm not going to bag him.
Yeah. A couple comments here in the disc or in the YouTube. Mr. Grouch says he's kind of surprised Cam Smith isn't on here. He has to be good one of the 2 months.
Ouch.
Because everyone loves his underlying, like his hard hit. This, he hasn't produced though in 2 months.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Like that's just the brass tacks of it. Yes, the stuff does look good under the hood. I'm not going to knock that, but he hasn't done anything for 2 months.
Smith in April. Hit 221 with 3 homers and 3 steals. And May has hit 200 with no homers and 3 steals. So you're right. Like, not really much of a, 3 fewer homers, but not really much of a change in production for Cam Smith. It's been rough.
Yeah. Chasco says, curious if you guys think Steer's on a heater or can we expect this bad in our lineups the rest of the season? Well, we're pretty pumped on him for now when we talked about him earlier. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the year-to-date skills, the power, the quality of contact for Spencer Steer look great. And I think as long as Spencer Steer plays well, I don't think playing time is an issue for me either. So I don't think Spencer Steer is as good as he has been the last month, the 309 batting average, but I think he could be as good as 3 homers in a couple bags every month. Like that actually seems reasonable to me.
Which is what he was doing in the past. He felt like he was nearly a 2020 guy in the past. Just average was a 240 average or something.
Right. Which is probably what you should expect going forward again.
He's still a very good ball player in 12s and deeper. Like, not a problem at all with that. I'm going to add to our exercise here before we do a couple more listener questions, Ryan. I'll do this one for a hat tip to mailman Mike because he didn't ask the question. But two guys you believe in on the risers side of things.
You're fabricating listener questions for me. I like it. Two what?
On the green side, the riser side, two guys you believe in the rising, like you believe in their skills.
Okay. I will go Josh Naylor, and I will go Pete Alonso.
I'm going to go Salvi Perez, and I will go with, well, should I go King William and just double dip the catchers? I won't do that for people, but I should. I'll say Rafael Devers. Like I agree the average might not be a 283 guy, but the power is legit. I'm not worried about the power at all. Okay. What about two on the falling side that you think will bounce back?
That will bounce back. I will say, well, Yordan Alvarez aside.
Yeah, well, that's not fair.
Fair. I will say Nico bounces back. I think we know who Nico is. I don't think that Nico Horner of a 192 batting average the last month is who he is. So I'll say Nico.
I agree. Nico should be the answer. So I'll let you have that one. I will go with Ben Rice once his wrist gets out. Like because even with his banged up wrist, if that is the reason why, his barrel rate and our hit rate is still through the roof. Like he is squaring up baseballs in a big way. And that'll play in the summer times in the Bronx. That's not going to be a problem. Question in the old YouTube here from Los Stones. Loriano was dropped in my 12 teamer. Should I add? And
keep I read it as lost ones, but
lost ones is probably we'll correct. See. You are correct. It's been a long day.
It's up there with your Brendan Schumacher.
How do you say it? How do you say Schumacher?
Shoemake.
Oh, there's an E on the end. Loriano was dropped in my 12-teamer. Should I add and keep on my bench? My outfields are Hap, PCA, Pajes, DeLauder, and Grisham on the bench. Usually use my util spot as an outfielder. He's not a must. He's not a must add.
Agreed. I think in a 12-teamer with outfield like that, I actually think Grisham is better days are ahead for Trent Grisham. I don't think you need to add Ramon Loriano there.
Yes, Loriano went or Grisham went deep on Tuesday as well. So,
and if you're still in the chat, lost ones or low stones, let us know the proper.
As Chasco says, you're low stones now. Yes, welcome to the team.
That's true. Once you are mispronunciated by Bubba, that's who you are.
Yep, welcome to the team.
And I like I said mispronunciated. Like that's a word.
Yeah, you mispronunciated my mispronunciation. All right, couple questions from the old Discord here. Ben Tidd wanted to say thank you to Ryan for reverse jinxing Yordan and Ben by having them on the faller side of things. To be fair, this wasn't Ryan's choice. Like,
yeah, this is just the numbers. This is the numbers, people. I do not sabotage the Bloom boards. I am unbiased here.
He's just a lover of the stats. Adam Brunchen asked, though, why doesn't Pete Alonso attempt more stolen bases? Polar bears can run 25 miles per hour. Great question.
Hey, if we're only going to have one Discord question, that one's spot on. I love it.
Yeah, it's almost like Fab this week. Everyone's asleep at the wheel for the holiday weekend, which it's pretty much. Wait. Thank you. I'm low stones now, but it's lost ones. Yeah, no, I know ones. I messed it up. I messed it up. That's on me. And I'll. Can't guarantee you I won't do it again. All right. Any final thoughts, Ryan, as we wrap up a rather quick one for us here on a Tuesday evening, which is totally fine to happen once in a while.
Yeah, no, I'd caution overreacting to either of these two samples, right? A month is a month. So the ones where I'm more interested in are the younger players, those rookies, and then anyone who may have had some kind of injury around the time where we're looking at these. I think the biggest takeaway is just trying roughly once a month. I'll plug the Bloom boards. I kind of have running last 30 day changers with these types of things. Just kind of try and recalibrate every month. Guys think it's a long season and things change month to month. Guys who you think are playing well, may have been doing nothing for the last 2-3 weeks and you don't even know it. And I think that's the danger. Like, you typically do know when your guys are hot and they're, you know, you see the stat line, you see that. The danger is those kind of, it's exactly the Gene Segura thing where it's just so quiet and you don't realize how bad they're doing. Doesn't mean you need to cut them, but just be aware, bench them if you want, try and find other alternatives via fab and just kind of stay on that, because it's so easy. I'm guilty of it. Losing track of who's not doing much lately, and that's probably the biggest takeaway here.
Yeah, and it's just it's a good precursor. You said the name I was going to mention. This gets us closer to a Gene Segura show in the coming weeks, just because it was actually discussed in the Discord today. Certain players are pulling Gene Segura's, and I can't remember who we were talking about.
Stephen Kwan, we might rename
them the Kwans pretty soon, because he's been so bad. And I dropped Kwan in every 12 I had him in, which I originally didn't have him until a couple weeks ago. But he got dropped everywhere, and that wasn't even a second thought for me. He has been beyond dreadful. Again, similar to Cam Smith, wasn't eligible for the list because he had to be good at least 1 month of the season. But people think Stephen Kwan is, and he is not right now. So, yeah, that'll be an interesting one to kind of open your eyes to what we're doing wrong by just letting guys sit in our lineups too long, and how that could be a detriment to your team. In 15s, you kind of have to. In 12s, you can churn and burn and make those tough drop decisions. But all right, we'll wrap it up there. That'll do it for another episode of Bubba and the Bloom. Thank you all for listening. Thanks for the chatter in the old YouTube there for Lost Ones and everybody else. You can follow Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I'm at BDN Trick, and this was Bubba and the Bloom, episode 350. Catch you all next time.